Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, prospect ranking season has begun, and we have two lists out with some differences of opinions on some of the Dodgers. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about some content ideas for the Dodgers to do during this lockout. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Vince and I are doing a split episode, so he'll be with you for the second half of this show. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. And as I said at the beginning, it's prospect ranking season, and we've had in the last couple days, we've had two different prospect lists come out. Baseball America came out a couple days ago, and then yesterday, maybe day before, Baseball Prospectus put out their list. And they agree on some things. They both agree that the Dodgers' top three prospects are, in some order, Diego Cartaya, Bobby Miller, and Miguel Vargas. And then they disagree beyond that. And the Baseball America list wasn't necessarily a surprise as far as the order goes, because we already had Baseball America released about 2 weeks ago. They released their Dodgers top 10 prospects. And so we knew what order they had the Dodgers guys. The only question was how many of those 10 would be in their overall top 100. And the answer was five. They have Diego Cartaya at number 23, Bobby Miller at number 38, Miguel Vargas at number 40, Michael Busch at number 76, and Ryan Pepiot at number 99. And then rounding out their Dodgers top 10, you have Andy Pajes, Landon Knack, Eddie Leonard, Andre Jackson, and Wilman Diaz. On the Baseball Prospectus side, they only have four Dodgers in their top 100, and only three of them are the same as the five that Baseball America had. They have Miguel Vargas as the Dodgers' top prospect at number 36 overall, then Diego Cartaya at 55, Bobby Miller at 63, and then Andy Pajes at 68. And so overall, Baseball Prospectus is more down on the Dodgers. Basically, they have Vargas a little bit higher than Baseball America had, and they have everybody else quite a bit lower. I guess Andy Pajes is higher for Baseball Prospectus because he wasn't on Baseball America's top 100, but the others all dropped down a little bit, and they only have four in the list. And so we're just going to talk about, you know, this is seven different guys who, is that right? Six different guys who are listed on some of these lists. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some of these guys and what to expect. You know, we'll probably over the next couple months have conversations with a few different people who are more expert on prospects than we are. But, you know, these are some of the big names that we do pay some attention to. Miguel Vargas is one who's pretty exciting in some ways. Basically, the dude can hit. And that's really what it boils down to. He's only 22 years old, just turned 22 in November. So he played last year at age 21. And he's out of Cuba. And he spent half the season, or, you know, I guess a third of the season in high A at Great Lakes. And he raked. And then he got promoted to Double A, where he continued to rake. Basically had, you know, basically the same performance at Double A that he had at High A. When he's at Tulsa, he's basically 3 years younger than the average age in that league. And so for him to come in and bat 321, 387 on base percentage, 523 slugging percentage, 16 homers in just 370 plate appearances, when he's 21 years old in a league where most of the average age is about 24, pretty darn impressive. And so it's not surprising that he is pretty high on some lists. It was a little bit surprising that BP had him as their top Dodgers prospect, maybe, because Diego Cartaya and Bobby Miller are maybe a little bit flashier names. I'm going to talk about Cartaya and Miller both in a minute. But yeah, Miguel Vargas is one who's kind of flown under the radar a little bit, maybe. And the big knock against him, because we know he can hit. He's even, he's cut down. He doesn't strike out a ton. He only had 89 strikeouts and 542 total plate appearances, which is a totally manageable, reasonable number for this day and age of baseball. His hitting, it's really, obviously nobody's a perfect hitter, but he doesn't have many more big strides needs to make offensively. He made that jump when, he only hit in 2018, he only hit two home runs. 2019, he only hit seven home runs. And then in 2021, he hit 23 homers. So hitting for power was kind of the last big step he needed to take. And some of that came from filling out, and some of it came from adjusting his hitting approach. But I'd go so far as to say is he could hold his own in the big leagues right now offensively. The question comes down to defense, because third base is his main position, and by all accounts, he's not great. He has good hands, so he catches the balls that are hit right to him, and he has a really good arm, but he doesn't have much range. He's not extremely athletic over there. He doesn't have a lot of speed. Even he stole 11 bases last year and was only caught once, but nobody really expects that to be part of his game. Speed isn't a big part of his game, and range isn't a big part of his defensive game. And so there are questions about whether he can stick at third base. And that's a big question when you're a third baseman, because the alternatives are less valuable positions. When you're at third base and they need to move you to a different position, it usually ends up being a corner outfield spot or first base. And first base would be a little bit of a waste, just because he does have a really good arm. It would be kind of a bummer to put him at first base, but they did play him at some first base this last year, and that might end up being where he needs to go. A corner outfield spot would be a little bit better, where he can utilize that arm. There's a little bit more, left field is a little bit more valuable than right field, just as far as what you're looking for defensively. And so if he could hold his own in left field, that would be nice. But that's the big question mark with Miguel Vargas, is where is he going to play? And that's something it's going to be interesting to watch, because after hitting really well at AA last year, you have to assume he's going to, if not start the season in AAA this year, at least, spend a lot of time in AAA this year. And at that point, that's when they got to start figuring out, okay, well, where does he fit into our actual major league team? But whatever it is, they're going to find room for him. Obviously, with the universal DH coming, that will maybe help that a little bit, open up his opportunities to get on the roster sooner than he might otherwise if he didn't have a defensive position. But Miguel Vargas, it's fun to see the big national prospect ranking organizations talking about Miguel Vargas and picking up on what a good hitter he is. And so that's exciting for the future. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about, Cartaya and Miller and Bush and Pepio and Pajes. But I want to thank you all for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. It means a lot to us. We hope you'll continue to do that and keep it locked on Dodgers. Hey, it's a new year, and that means New Year's resolutions. And if one of your resolutions is to eat better, the answer is Built Bar, because it tastes delicious. It tastes like a candy bar, but it's good for you. It's got a ton of protein, low calorie, low sugar, low carb, high protein. I said high protein. I guess it's so high that I said it twice. Compare that to an actual candy bar that's just high calorie, high sugar, high carb, and no protein at all. Just a lot of guilt. Well, Built Bar is going to have something you like. They're all covered in 100% chocolate. You are going to like something. You might like all of them. So what you need to do is go to built.com, look at their flavors. If you can't decide for sure, order a mix box and they'll send you a bunch of different flavors, and then you can decide which ones you like. And your next order, you can just order those, or however you want to do it. You know how to use the internet. You know how to buy food. I'm just telling you, you should be buying some food from Built Bar because it's delicious and healthy. And go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, I'm back. I'm going to talk about some of these other prospects that made these lists. I'm going to save the two that I'm most excited about for last, I guess, or the three. Let's talk about Andy Pajes. Andy Pajes is a really interesting hitter. Maybe I say the word interesting too much, but that's the best way I can think of to describe him. He's got a ton of power, and he is refining his hitting approach. But basically, he's not quite a finished product yet. And that's why he's as low as he is. He's not on Baseball America's top 100. I assume he's just out of the top 100. We know he's the Dodgers' sixth best prospect, and they have five in the top 100. So he's probably just barely out of the top 100. And BP has him at 68. And basically, these prospect lists, what they're trying to do is predict who is going to be good major leaguers. And basically, to get into the top 100 list, that they're saying, we think you're going to eventually be an all-star player in the big leagues. And right now, Pajes, as a hitter, isn't quite at the point where you can say, we think he's going to be an all-star. I think he's at the point where they can say, we think he's going to be a starter in the big leagues, but probably not quite at all-star level yet. And that will come, we've seen the Dodgers player development system. We saw it with Miguel Vargas, who I was just talking about, that he refined his approach, tapped into some power, it just became an overall better hitter. And so I think the progress we've seen in the last couple of years from Andy Pajes, he's come a long way from the guy who was almost a throw-in in that trade when they thought they were trading Jock Peterson and Ross Stripling to the Angels. And then that trade didn't happen. Pajes was supposed to be going in that trade too. And he's come a long way to where he is now, where he's actually in one top 100 list and knocking on the door of another one. So he's exciting to see how he can develop in 2022. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see him, mid top 100 on all the lists next year at this time and starting to think about knocking on the door of the big leagues. Then you got Michael Busch. Michael Busch is really interesting. Also, there it is, that word again. Busch has some question marks as far as, where is he going to play, the hitting, but he's got a pretty high floor, it seems like. I think everybody seems to agree Michael Busch is going to be a big leaguer. The question is, how good is he going to be? And, that's something that we used to talk about him in the same breath with Cody Hosey. They were drafted the same round. They had a lot of similarities. And Busch seems to have passed Hosey in the prospect rankings, in the performance. And I think we're going to see him again. He's another guy like Pajes who we're going to continue to see development in 2022. And by the end of the year, he's going to be a guy we're talking about. Wow, he's just about big league ready. We got to start finding a spot for him. Then you get Ryan Pepiot, who didn't make Baseball Prospectus's list. And he's number 99 on Baseball America's list. And, we've had Pepiot on the show. Great dude. Really smart pitcher. And really aware of his, skill set. And basically for me, the big thing with Pepiot is continuing to refine that command and control and work on those secondary pitches, because he's got the stuff to be in the big leagues. The question right now is he going to be a starter or is he going to be a reliever? And a lot of that's going to come down to the development of that third pitch and how that continues to go. And then just showing that he can continue to do it repeatedly, go out there every fifth day. Obviously, he has the most value if he can be a starting pitcher. I think stuff-wise, he's a mid-rotation starter, which is really, really valuable. He's the kind of guy you can plug him in as a third starter if he can develop that third pitch. And it's easy to see why people are excited about Ryan Pepiot, because when you watch him pitch, you watch his stuff, it's really, really good. And knowing what the Dodgers do with player development, it seems like it's only going to get better. And he's a guy who, we talked about him. We've talked about him many times, but Brandon Gomes talked about Ryan Pepiot and as a guy who he called him extraordinarily talented and a guy who they expect, or hope that he's going to contribute at the big league level in 2022. And that's, I think, what we can expect from Pepiot. The question is going to be long term, what role is he going to be in? Which leads us to Bobby Miller, who is kind of the same question marks as Pepiot, except he's a little bit more advanced, a little bit farther along on that way. And I thought there was a interesting thing that Kyle Glazer, so True Blue LA, an SB Nation blog, they did a little interview with Kyle Glazer from Baseball America about 6 months ago. And they asked him specifically about Bobby Miller. They asked, where is he in terms of his development, and do you think he can be a mid-rotation or higher prospect in 2023? And Kyle Gledger said, Miller made great strides, even in limited innings this year. He tightened up his slider and really focused on developing his changeup with a lot of success. There's no question in anyone's mind that he can be a mid-rotation starter. The only question is if he'll become a front-of-the-rotation starter. He's at least a number three with a very real chance to surpass that. That said, a huge part of being a front-of-the-rotation starter is being able to take the ball every 5 days and consistently pitch deep into games. The Dodgers were extremely cautious with pitcher workloads throughout the organization this year, and as such, Miller completed 5 innings only once in 13 outings, showing he can consistently hold his stuff and command through 6 or 7 innings and deploy his weapons properly to get through the order a third time are going to be critical for him. Because of his limited workload this year, it's hard to say he'll be pitching in the middle of the Dodgers rotation by 2023. It's probably going to be a little slower to where he focuses on building innings next year, maybe makes his major league debut but with an innings limit, and then the reins start to come off in 2023 and he becomes a full-fledged rotation member with no restrictions in 2024. He could accelerate that path, but the lack of innings means it might take more time than expected for him to reach that mid-rotation or higher potential he has. And that, you know, that basically sums it up for Miller. We talked about the other day, I said I wouldn't be surprised to see Miller in a relief role in 2022 with the Dodgers. And, you know, with what Glazer's talking about, with him being on an innings limit, that might be a good way to do that. Get some of those innings in the big league bullpen. The question is whether they're going to want, if they do think of him long term as, you know, a number two starter, do you want to put him in the bullpen? But, you know, they did that with Walker Buehler. He came up and he pitched out of the bullpen. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see the same kind of approach with Bobby Miller. But reading what Kyle Glazer had to say about Miller, it's pretty exciting to see how excited he is about him and what he views for him as a ceiling, that he could be a top of the rotation starter. That's a big deal to say about somebody in the minor leagues. And so it's understandable why Baseball America has him at number 38. Baseball Prospectus has him at number 63 overall. Maybe they're not quite as high on him. And then the last one we want to talk about is Diego Cartaya. Diego Cartaya, Baseball America has it 23. BP has him at 55. And Glazer was also asked about, no, it wasn't Glazer. It was, in Baseball America's article about their top 10 Dodgers prospect lists. They said about Cartaya, though only 20 years old, Cartaya is a big physical masher who is a force at the plate. He's an extraordinarily mature hitter who expertly manages the strike zone, recognizes pitches out of the hand, and makes ear-ringing contact with controlled, powerful swings. Dude can hit. And Baseball America gave Cartaya overall a 65 grade. If you're not familiar with the scouting scale, it's a 20-80 scale. 50 is considered average. And they grade him as a 65 overall, which is just ridiculous. I mean, what they're saying is we expect Diego Cartaya to be a perennial all-star in the major leagues. And Dodgers already have one great catcher, and they've got this guy coming up who, you know, Cartaya only played at low A last year. I don't think he even got up to high A. Then he had an injury. He was only 19 during the season, and he had an injury, so he missed the last couple months. Looks like hamstring and back issues. So there's some health things. I don't think we should expect Cartaya in the big leagues for a couple years still, but it sounds like when he gets there, the sky's the limit for what he can do. And that it's easy to see why Baseball America has him at number 23. BP has him at number 55. And overall, hard to not be excited about Diego Cartaya. So in the order that I'm excited about them, I think I'd go with Cartaya. Actually, pretty close to what Baseball America has. I'd go Cartaya, Miller, Vargas, Pepio, and then kind of Bush and Pajes kind of on that next tier for me of what I'm excited for. But the thing I'm most excited for is to see what these guys can do in 2022 to further their progress with the Dodgers player development system, and to see what people are saying about them 6 months from now, 8 months from now, and where they are in their development, because the Dodgers have a really good track record, and with what they're working with these guys, it could be really, really fun. So that's about it for me. Vince is going to come and talk about some content ideas for the Dodgers to keep us entertained during this lockout. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and Vince will be along in a minute.
BetOnline wants to wish you a happy new betting year. It's 2022, and BetOnline wants to be where you put your sports wagering action on in 2022 as teams continue their marches to the playoffs and beyond. They've got a brand new website you can check out. And guess what? Right now, you can get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit after using the promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline. Just head over to BetOnline, your laptop or mobile device, sign up, put a deposit, get 50% on top of that with the promo code LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing available offers for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, Vince here to close out today's episode. Shout out to Jeff holding down the first half. And I'm here to talk about some Dodgers content ideas as we are currently in a lockout and they cannot work with the players on the major league team. And what we've seen so far is I talked about Andre Ethier earlier this week or last week about being the Dodgers ambassador. They did like kind of the day in the life of what they did with the players last year. They did one with Kirsten Watson the other day. And it got me thinking about other things the Dodgers can do in order to provide some entertainment and help themselves out in terms of content and content creation. And the first part really goes hand in hand with the first half of this episode, which is getting some of these prospects involved. Go to Bobby Miller, teach us about Bobby Miller. He's not on the 40-man roster. He can do content with the Dodgers. Teach us about some of these prospects, because I think that's really where the Dodgers can win. Teach us about some of these people of the future. Obviously, it's hard because they're prospects, and you never know if they might get traded or the case, blah blah blah. But at the end of the day, like that could be anybody. Anybody could get traded at any point theoretically. So there's no worry to be scared about it. I'd love to know more about Bobby Miller. I'd love to go see him in his hometown or getting ready for the season or whatever the case is. Diego Cartaya, another one who, would also fill that role, who's not on the 40-man roster. There's a bunch of Dodgers prospects that can fit that role and would be, I'd love to see and learn more about them. And I'm sure a lot of these other, fans would too. There's fans that are deep into it that know all about these prospects and know about their stories and backgrounds and everything. But there's probably a lot of fans that don't, and fans that are looking for content this offseason. I mean, even Ryan Pepiot's not on the 40-man roster. You can go talk to him and we can find out more about him. He's definitely going to help out this season coming up. Bobby Miller, you got all the drafted guys from the other year, Clayton Beater and Jake, even Jake Vogel, who didn't have the craziest year down there in Rancho, but still a name that people would recognize. You can even go down just the top prospect rankings and go meet one of them. I know that's probably a lot easier said than done, but I'd love for some prospect content to come from this. Obviously, they would have to be on board, but I don't see a reason why they wouldn't be on board. A lot of these guys, exposure is a great thing, and especially getting exposure from the team that you might one day play for. So get introduced to fans early on and go from there. So prospect content, would love to see some of that. I would imagine it, like I said, I'm pretty sure it falls under the rules because they're not major league players. They're not on the MLBPA. They're not technically part of the lockout per se. So prospect stuff, do that. Now there's some other stuff that, Dave Roberts, I don't know if he is not, I don't want to say compelling. He's a compelling man, but I don't know if he does enough in the offseason to be compelling. We kind of know he's probably at his home in San Diego, probably enjoying some wine, hanging out with his wife and kids and all that. I don't know if there's much there for that. However, there is, Dino Ebel, would love to see him in some offseason content, see what he's up to, see what he'd be doing. He's been an interesting character when he's been mic'd up. There's been a couple of times where he's been featured in episodes of Backstage Dodgers. I think he was the one that ate a bunch of oatmeal. I'd love to know a little bit more about Dino Ebel and his life and how he handles things in the offseason. The other one is Andrew Friedman. And I don't know whether it's like a day in the life of Andrew Friedman or some, like, what does Andrew Friedman like to do? I'd like to know what some of these guys' hobbies are. You know, we know Joe Davis and cooking, and also bring that back, you know, do more Joe Davis cooking. I know he was busy during football season, but football's pretty much over. I don't think he does any playoff games, so he's free now. Go give me some Joe Davis cooking content. But, like, I don't know, even Ebel, you know, Andrew Friedman, what are these guys' hobbies? What are they doing in the offseason? What do they do to, you know, whether kill time, whatever the case is? I feel like I don't know anything about Andrew Friedman other than he always has a water bottle in hand and he's the Dodgers president of baseball operations and he's a very smart guy. But other than that, I don't know much about him. I would like to know more about him. And, you know, assuming he's going to be here for a long time, you know, let's go ahead and check out Andrew Friedman and see how he's handling this lockout and how he does stuff in the offseason. Technically, he doesn't have to worry about anything right now, per se. He doesn't, you know, I'm sure there's talks of team, like, I'm sure low-key he's talking to teams that they might trade with or even maybe talking to agents that they might sign players with, like, low-key. But at the end of the day, he can't do anything in stone yet, so he probably does have a little more time to relax. Let's see what he does. Let's see what he does. The other one, I'd like a follow-up on the legend of Chico. Chico, you know, who came to and rose to prominence during the lockout. Or not the lockout, during the pandemic workouts before the season started. You know, let's follow Chico. Let's see what he's doing. Honestly, would be compelling, or at least a backstory of Chico. You know, maybe he's probably not doing too much right now. That's compelling, but a backstory of Chico would be pretty compelling, telling his story. I know there was a lot of articles written about him, but we didn't get to see it, like, out there visually. So that'd be something to do. I think they got to get Sujo on camera and kind of explain. She's always getting bombarded with questions. I know she's been on Court's podcast. I think she's been on another podcast of social media people, but those aren't, you know, prominently known by Dodger fans. I think, you know, getting Sujo and just kind of either a Q&A would be pretty cool. Obviously answering what she can answer. There's probably some stuff she can't answer. You know, day in the life right now wouldn't really be too much because not much going on, but thought processes, you know, developing relationships, maybe a couple funny stories, you know, hey, when do you know that when trades are going down or how do you stay, you know, quiet about it? She's answered some of these questions before, but like I said, in a greater setting within the Dodgers organization on Dodgers social pages, I think a lot of people would enjoy that and figure that out. And then I think, I don't know, forgive me if it's a known thing, but whoever's in charge of promotions, I'd love to see the thought process there too, like how they come up with promotions, how they decide who gets a bobblehead, how they decide what they're going to give out and all that case, which word I would stick in my advocacy for blankets to come back again. But that, you know, even all that goes into that, it might be boring for some people, but some people might be into it and that's just the way it goes. You know, it's a matter of, you know, it's interesting. How do they come up with this stuff? And yeah, some of it might not do so well. Some of this might flop, but, you know, there's also a dedicated group of fans that are going to watch anything the Dodgers put out. And that's what we're here for. We need some content. You know, I'm sure it might be a little too late for some of this stuff because I'm sure they're expecting the lockout to end in the next month or so, which hopefully it does. But if not, you know, get the wheels in motion. Let's see some of this stuff played out. There's probably some other stuff we can find a bunch. We can go back in old players and stuff like that. But start off there. That's the content I'd like to see here in this offseason while the lockout's happening. And that's going to do it for today's episode. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. We are on YouTube and wherever you find podcasts. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Amperio. You can always get a hold of us via DM on any of those accounts. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. or via text voicemail at 323-863-LOCK. That's 5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.